Hebron, the journey continues. From Adullam to Hebron, the journey continues. Yeah. 29 years ago, God gave me a dream in Miami. While vacationing at my wife's brother's house, in that dream, he showed me this community, the brokenness of its people and its infrastructure, brokenness of its people and the brokenness of the infrastructure in terms of the houses, the businesses, and the, you know, the community itself. He also gave me a word, and that word was, with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. You need to understand that at that time I was not a pastor. At that time I was part of an independent church. At that time I had no resources, I had no connections, I had no promise from any man or any organization that if I went into ministry, I would be supported. All I had was a word from God. I had a dream, a word from God, and that word said, with God, all things are possible. Praise God. 28 years down the road, you know, God has proven himself to be a God of his word. He has proven himself to be a faithful God. To be a faithful God. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for the testimony that you have given to us. A testimony which demonstrates that you are God, that you are alive, and that you still work in the lives of your people. Lord, thank you for all you have done, and thank you for this word that you have laid upon my heart today. Lord, pour out your spirit. Continue to pour out your spirit upon us, O God. Continue to open the eyes of our understanding. Hallelujah. Continue to cause your kingdom to come, your rule, your reign to be further established in our hearts. Continue to cause your will to be done in the life of this church. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, when we came into this community 28 years ago, this was the condition of the community. There was a high incidence of crime and violence. Up to 30 murders per year in a population of 6,000. Businesses were moving out or closing down in the community, and buildings were being abandoned. I want you to pay attention to this, because, you know, I 28 years ago, I did not know this. I did not have this on paper. But God began to give us ministries, to put in our heart, to do certain ministries in the community. And on looking back now, I see that what God was doing was that he gave us ministries to help address the condition, the conditions that existed in the community. There was a deep sense of hopelessness among residents. Poor housing, high percentage of single parent households. And I want to say that again. There was a high percentage of single parents household. households. You had gang and political warfare. Praise God. Poverty, lack of jobs and skills, little business activity, low literacy and numeracy levels. Praise God. You know, I have outlined these conditions here today because what I want to say is that when we came in here, we didn't come to establish church as per usual. We did not come to establish church per usual. We did not come to establish a church in which we just operated within the boundaries of the compound or within the boundaries of the sanctuary. God named this church Upper Room Community Church. And the upper room was an emphasis on the importance of having the anointing, and the community was an emphasis on the fact that God had called us to affect the community for Jesus Christ. In 1 Samuel 22, 1 to 3, and it speaks about David at the cave of Adullam. And so I've entitled this message, From Adullam to Hebron, the journey continues. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 22, so David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now we need to understand that David was anointed king years before. He had not yet started reigning as king, but he was anointed. He was destined to be king. And here we see that this man who was anointed to be king, he was living in a cave. Hallelujah. Praise God. Soon, watch this, soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Praise God. It was a family thing. It was a family thing. Then others began coming. Men, watch this, men who were in trouble or in debt or were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. So this man who was anointed to be king of a nation, at this point in time, he was living in a cave and he was captain of 400 men instead of hundreds of thousands. Later, David went to Mizpah in Moab, where he asked the king, please allow my father and mother to live here. You know, I'm really touched and challenged by the connection that David had with family. Imagine, he went to the king, a king of Moab. He was not a king of Israel. He was, in fact, later an enemy of Israel. And he went to him and he said, allow my father and mother to live here with you until I know what God is going to do for me. And I want to emphasize, until I know. Until I know. You know what that tells me? When God calls you, you don't know everything all at once. Amen? For every one of us, our journey through life, every step, if we take a step, we have to stand still until we know what is the next step that God wants us to take. Praise God. Until I know what God is going to do for me. And may I say something? You know, this is the principle that this ministry has been built on. This is the principle. No, I have 3 university degrees, 2 masters and a bachelor's, and I don't use up here for seeking God. I don't reason up here to know what God wants me to do. I pray, I fast, I study my word, the word of God, and I listen for God to direct me. And that's the principle that this ministry has been built on. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Praise God. You know, we just heard the testimony of the minister that, you know, all the tours that he had planned for 2020, that COVID threw them through the window. And what? He got an idea from God. He got an idea from God. Brethren, God is not short of ideas. God's hands are not short. As long as we put our trust in God, God will not, he will not leave us, he will not forsake us, and God will not allow us to beg bread. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So at Adullam, I wish to note the following. Praise God. David, although called and anointed by God to be a king of Israel, he was living in the cave of Adullam. God humbled him. And we need to understand that God is in the business of humbling his people. Praise God. Why did God humble him? God was testing his character. You know, God been speaking to me more and more each day. Praise God. Thank God for the giftings. Amen. Thank God. You know, I come up and in the service I will prophesy. I will pray for the sick. I will preach. But after all is said and done, you know what counts? My character. If I have no character, I have nothing. If I have no character, I am not a man of God. If I have no character, I am not a child of God. And we need to understand that we must take our eyes off the gifts. Take our eyes off the ability to preach. Take our eyes off the ability to prophesy. Take our eyes off the ability to heal the sick. And look for character in people's lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2, he was joined by his brothers and other relatives at the cave. Praise God. As we celebrate our 28th anniversary as a church. Hallelujah. I thank God for my wife and my children. Hallelujah. Who have willingly supported me in ministry over the years. It has been a big difference. Hallelujah. Their support has been noted in heaven. I thank God for my wife's brother Frank and his wife Cynthia, who live in Florida, for their hospitality and kindness they have extended to us year after year. And this has been so important in our lives. A place to go and rest. A place to go and be refreshed and to be encouraged. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God for the presence and support of my sister Donna in this church. Hallelujah. Her presence has meant a lot to me. Our church is located in a community in which there is very little evidence of nuclear family life. It has been a tremendous privilege to have demonstrated to this community, by the grace of God, that husband and wife and children can live together faithfully and lovingly as they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that presence. I think that the loudest and the clearest and the most impactful message that we have consistently preached in this community is our life and ministry as a family. It has been very important. Praise God. And I thank God for His grace. Amen. I thank God for Pastor Metz and Mumsy. Praise God. And Pastor Reed, now deceased, for their invaluable help and support to my family and to the church. Hallelujah. I also wish to thank God for Sister Sonia and her sons Rifton and Dane. This morning, you know, as I prepared, the Lord said, put Rifton's name in there. Put their names in there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who have been present and serving soon after we started this church. I also wish to thank God for all other persons. I don't have time to call everybody name. All other persons who have been a part of this church and have assisted us in fulfilling the Lord's purpose for this church. And I want to say to every one of you, great is your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. The fourth thing I want to say is that also joining David at Adullam were men who were in trouble. Men who were in debt or discontented. I thank God for the privilege of serving in this community. As you will see shortly when we show you some pictures of ministry over the years, our ministry has primarily been to the youth of this community. And the reason is, that's what God wanted. You know, in the dream that God gave me, He showed me a young man walking up Shortwood Lane from Grandspan Road. And he was walking like this. And I asked, what's wrong with that young man? And he said, another young man said to me, he's maimed. He was maimed by a stick that ran up into his body. And what God was saying to me in that dream is that the one of the main purposes of this church is to minister to those who need their hearts to be healed and you know to be delivered from captivity, from whatever was binding them. Praise God. Hallelujah. He called us to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Without realizing this initially, God led us to put in place ministry initiatives which help to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. So, you know, what I want us to note here is that when we have community corner, it's not just kids bundling up together and running around. There is a bigger emphasis. When we have basketball, there is a bigger emphasis. When we have medical clinic, there is a bigger emphasis. God's purposes are being fulfilled in these ministries. So at this time, I'm just gonna allow the showing of some pictures, and then I'm gonna come back to continue the journey. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm staying from behind the scenes to walk us through this. So as it says, Upper Room Community Church through the years, in pictures. Of course, we can't recognize anyone, right? But that's a picture of when we met in our first location, which was on Charlton Avenue in a school then called Charlton Prep School. Praise the Lord. I'll give you some time to figure out who is who, but praise God there. You have me. I look the same, so you pick me out right away. And then you have Pastor Reed, Pastor Ian Muirhead. Believe it or not, that's our beloved Minister John. And then Joanna. Then we go up. We have Pastor Yasmin. And then we had a Sister Marcia Blair, who also was with us that first opening. And we started in November 1, 1992, which is why November is our anniversary month. That says First Sanctuary, but really it should have been read differently. But then we moved from there to 37 Shortwood Road, which is next door to us, and that's what we looked like for those who came in after we had relocated to that place, or relocated from there. Even though we were in that setting, we were, by God's grace, as we said, he opened gates and he opened opportunities for us to minister. And one of the early ministries, which continues even now, is Community Corner. There we have children from the community playing games, and it has been affectionately called badminton by the community because that was the very first game or activity that we embarked on. But since then, you know, it opened up into many different things. A staple of Community Corner is having the opportunity to bless those who come with a cooked meal, courtesy of the hospitality ministry. And so those images reflect the children coming for their nice cooked meal. And just prior to the meal, they would, having had the games and, you know, their frolicking time, then they would have ministry of the word. Sometimes it's, you know, visitors who would come in to minister, or persons here at the church would share testimonies, or it could be, you know, a presentation of a skit, etc. But that shot are the kids, young people, teenagers, adults too, who would be sitting, receiving ministry at the end of their times of games. We had a wonderful opportunity at one of those Community Corner sessions to distribute bags which had books, back to school supplies. So that is back to school bags distribution. And it wasn't the first time that we had done that. We have had other times when we had back to school support for the children. The homework center actually began, if I remember, in 1994, Homework Center, and it has again been a staple of our ministry here to the residents of the community. Praise God. And we just give God thanks for that. Yes, in 1994, the first session of Homework Center began. That's not the very first picture of it, but just to tell you the transition, we started with four square tables, and we still have them, and a few chairs. But since then, it said that, you know, money seeks vision. So we had this vision, and then along came resources to provide more tables, chairs, and computers. Praise God. That's another shot of the homework center with the children participating. In 2003, our first summer camp was held under the theme, The Lord's Army. That's not the 2003 picture, but just to give you an idea of, you know, youngsters from the community, some of them would raise funds towards, you know, their camp fees. We too would have sponsors coming along to help and to assist. But the spot or the location typically was Mad Saunders Conference Center in Tower Isle, St. Mary. That shot is from there, but we have had other campsites. But out of the years, we have often gone to Mad Saunders more than anywhere else. Again, young people, I don't know if persons can identify themselves again, because, you know, we look the same, so we should pick that out real quick, right? MASH Medical Clinic, our first medical ambassador serving through healthcare clinic, was held in the summer of 2008, and this has been done in partnership with Stafford Crossing Community Church for almost 10 years. And the medical clinic has served hundreds of persons within and outside of the community. So there, that shot is children being taught how to properly, you know, brush their teeth, and they're given dental supplies and lots of stuff. They would have eye screening by the Lions Club. And, of course, since we are a church, we are not a social club. We have the ministry of the word. And that picture shows Pastor Darrell Mosley of Stafford Crossing Community Church, senior pastor there. And he's ministering to the persons who will be waiting to receive medical attention, and this is done in our parking lot outside, the waiting part, but the actual attention, medical attention, is inside the building. Basketball ministry came on stream in 2000, and we had very humble beginnings. 2010, sorry, and we had very humble beginnings. We lost every match when we just started, and we had a person sell, you know, less than 10. You know, you have sub 10. Yeah, we did sub 10. We did sub 10 scores when we just started. But those two shots are showing our location being used as the site of these matches. But we would go out. We would go out to Portmore or to Edward Siaga Complex. You know, we've been to Majestic Gardens. This ministry has really allowed us to meet some very wonderful people and to be able to shine our light in a way that we wouldn't normally, because these persons wouldn't necessarily come to the church. So those were some ministries. But, you know, even as we... by faith, everything was a step of faith. God stepped up, you know, or so to speak, met our faith, you know. And one of them was the expansion of this building that he miraculously provided for us. So these next images show where you are sitting now. I don't know if you can even begin to imagine that which you're looking at is where you are now. So this was burnt down, it was looted, it was stripped of everything. There was no roof where we're sitting. And these are the images that briefly just show us the restoration of that. So we had these massive columns that you just saw earlier. And they had to be, you know, hammered, that's the word, hammered down with the help of Jamaica Teen Challenge. They had some strong arm men. They came and thundered down those columns. So what you're looking at there is actually this same scene. Is that the scene or that's the back? Okay, so it's where I am. Okay. Right. So that is looking from the front, looking to the back. So where we are at the back here, that's the shot. Praise God. So the Lord has done great things. Amen. 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 Praise God. And so that's what it looks like, the restoration of the top, and of course we the front, but at the upstairs. Now, even though, you know, COVID-19 has restricted to some extent what we have been doing in those ministries, it has not stopped our care for others. So earlier on this year, we had the opportunity to provide meals for the elderly in the community. They were packaged and, you know, persons came and distributed them. We partnered with persons in the community to have this done. And just in summer, we had the opportunity to also provide care packages for the prenatal clients of Edna Manley Clinic. And there they are, the recipients thereof. They were very happy to receive them. And we have another opportunity coming up in another 2 weeks to do the same, to minister to pregnant mothers of the Edna Manley Clinic. And all this for God's glory, as Pastor just indicated, to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. And what did I have at the beginning? A word from God. With God, all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. It's amazing, you know, how God provided. And you know something? I did not beg once. I did not beg once. People came to us and said they wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. You know, the church... from his Trinity Assembly of God in Deltona, Florida. They were the ones who did the upstairs. You know, they came. They were part of the demolition team. You know, they sent down containers with lumber. and roofing material from the United States. They hired a huge crane and they came down and they did the work themselves. They put in the carpet. The only things we bought were the windows. But they did the ceiling, the roof, the lighting, you know, the electrical, everything they did. So to God be the glory. Amen. Let's give them a clap offering of praise again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and man. And let me tell you, I encourage you, seek the favor of God. Seek the favor of God, and God will give you favor with whomsoever he think you should have favor with. God will do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, some people think that, you know, I have a reservoir of resourceful friends that I can just speak to, and they give me whatever they want. That's not so. I don't. God is the one who touches people's hearts. Amen? God is the one. And God can do it for you. God can do it for you. God has no favorites. Just put your trust in God, and God will do it for you. Praise God. Amen. So, we started out by looking at David's sojourn at Adullam. But after a time, David moved to Hebron. Amen. And we're just going to look at that for a brief moment. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 2 verses 1 to 7. It says, after this, David asked the Lord. And I love this. I love this. David asked the Lord, should I move back to one of the towns of Judah? Amen. He was in the cave at Adullam. He was there sometime. It wasn't the most comfortable of situation, but he didn't just move and say, you know, God, understand, I'm not comfortable, so I'm just gonna move. He said, should I move back to one of the towns of Judah? Yes, the Lord replied. Then David asked, amazing, which town should I go to? Can you imagine that? He said, Lord, should I move? The Lord said yes. And he said, which town should I move to? Now, some people might say, well, you know, God is not interested in where you live and where you go. But God is. God has a plan for each and every one of us lives. Amen. And guess what? I can't tell you that. You have to find out from God for yourself. Amen. Praise God. I would never venture to tell somebody what they must do with their lives. I can advise. But the ultimate requirement is that each person must find out from God for themselves. That's important. Amen. We're no longer in the days, as you see, when you read the scriptures in the Old Testament, you know, every time that someone wanted direction from God, they went to a prophet and they asked the prophet, seek God on my behalf. I need to know what to do. Those days are finished. Those days are finished. Each man has got to find God for himself. Amen. Each man has got to find God for himself. Praise God. I remember, you know, I just like David went to this the king of Moab and said, I need to find out what God wants to do. I want to leave my mother and my father here until I know what God wants me to do. You know, we did a similar thing when I resigned from the church that I was a part of. because God had called me here. I went to another church and I said to the pastor, I am not coming here for membership, but I just want somewhere to keep my family until I hear what God wants me to do. What is the next step that God has for me in my life? And I stayed there. And do you know that the first sermon that the pastor preached was entitled, Leave Here and Go There. And I said, praise God. That is God. That is God's direction for my life. Amen? He didn't look at me and say, Pastor Muirhead. Well, I mean, not pastor then. He didn't look at me and say, Brother Muirhead, leave here and go there. He was just preaching his message. But God spoke to my heart as he preached. God spoke to my heart. Hallelujah. So, then David asks, which town should I go to? To Hebron, the Lord answered. David's two wives were Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel. So David and his wives and his men and their families all moved to Judah and they settled in the villages near Hebron. And it was while he was in Judah that all the tribes, all the families of Judah came together and made him king. So the number of subjects that he had now moved from 400 to thousands. Like that. In the twinkling of an eye, it moved from 400 to thousands. Amen? And that is what we are waiting on here at Upper Room Community Church. There was a prophetess. She's going to minister tonight. She said, it's going to happen. It's going to be sudden. But God is going to cause the church to just burst open and to be filled with people. It's going to happen in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says in verse 4, then the men of Judah came to David and anointed him king over the people of Judah. When David heard that the men of Jabesh Gilead had buried Saul. We're going to speak more about Saul. Had buried Saul. He sent them this message. Remember, Saul was his chief enemy. His chief enemy. Yet, he said, some people buried Saul. Gave him a decent burial. And David was happy for that. He sent them this message. May the Lord bless you for being so loyal to your master Saul. Although Saul tried to kill him over 20 times. And giving him a decent burial. May the Lord be loyal to you in return and reward you with his unfailing love. He had a respect for authority. And I too, I like that. And I too will reward you for what you have done. Now that Saul is dead, watch this. Now that Saul is dead, I ask you to be my strong, loyal subjects like the people of Judah who have anointed me as their new king. Praise God. Amen. Beloved, I am not a king. I'm just a pastor. Amen? But we are on a journey. And I'm praying. I'm praying that God will help us to be united. Even more united as a church. Because we have much more work to be done in this community and beyond. Much more work to be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just yesterday, you know, someone from abroad said, Pastor Muirhead, be praying about going to Africa. Be praying about going to Africa. Well, I've been to Africa before, but I went as a research scientist. to present a research paper in Ivory Coast. But praise God, there is ministry in Africa. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So I want us to note the following things. Between Adullam and Hebron, God further tested David's character. God is after character. God is after character. Amen. The second thing I want us to note is that he was betrayed by Doeg, the Edomite. He was betrayed. He was waiting to come into his inheritance, but he was betrayed by Doeg, the Edomite. Doeg told Saul that the priest Ahimelech consulted God for David. Remember, Saul saw David as his enemy and gave him food and Goliath's sword. Saul in return ordered Doeg to kill Ahimelech and all of his family except for his son Abiathar, who managed to escape. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream? God wants you to know that you'll be tested. You'll be tested. Your character will be tested. Concerning Joseph, the Bible says, until the time came to fulfill his dream. Until the time came to fulfill his dream. Remember, Joseph had two dreams? He had two dreams. And his brothers were jealous of him and hated him because of those dreams. And his brothers sold him into slavery because they hated him. But the Bible says, until the time came. See, sometimes a dream brings you trouble. Sometimes a dream brings you opposition. Praise God. I remember when I got this dream for this church, there were some people, including pastors, who laughed at me and said, "Muirhead, starting church." But when a dream is from God, that makes a difference. Amen? It makes a difference. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Praise God. In Saul's ministry, Alexander, watch this. In Saul's ministry, Alexander the coppersmith opposed him. The Apostle Paul, who had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, who, you know, God used him to do a lot of signs and wonders. He was tested. His character was tested. Alexander the coppersmith opposed him and instructed others not to obey his instructions. Can you imagine that? Paul, as the apostle to the Gentiles, had this man opposing him and instructing people in the church not to follow his instructions. You know, sometimes people have a way to say that when this happened, something must wrong with Paul. Something must wrong with Paul. Why this is happening? But let me tell you something. There is a devil. There is a devil that wants to divide and destroy the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Paul went on to say, be careful of him. Be careful of him. For he fought against everything we said. He fought against everything we said. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I love the transparency of the Bible. The Bible don't hide anything, you know. David committed adultery. It's in the Bible. Amen. The Bible don't hide anything. There is transparency. And it's there for a purpose. And I want to say this. I'm going to be transparent about this ministry. And there is no ill in my heart. My character was being tested and is still being tested. In this ministry, we have been tested. We have had persons who have opposed us and sought to malign us. Remember, there was one woman, she came and she went around the community telling people that she saw Pastor Murad in a bar downstairs drinking beer or rum. I don't remember what she said. She saw Pastor Murad, in the bar drinking beer or rum. And Pastor Murad don't like bar, don't like rum, don't like beer. Amen? But praise God, that's how Satan is. That's how Satan is. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Like Paul, I say the Lord will judge them. I forgive them. May he have mercy upon them. Praise God. The third thing I want to note is that Saul tried to kill David over 20 times. While Saul was alive, David refused to harm him. On one occasion, he sneaked into Saul's camp and found him sleeping with his spear stuck in the ground beside him. One of his commanders, Abishai, who accompanied him, offered to kill Saul using Saul's spear. He actually said to David, God has handed Saul into your hand. Let me kill him. But David responded, and this is character. David responded, hallelujah, no, don't kill him. Hear what he said. For who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? Amen. You know, the Bible says all authority is of God. All authority, whether church authority or out of church authority, all authority is of God. Hallelujah. David did not respect Saul's character or attitude. Understand that. He didn't respect his character or attitude. But he respected the anointing of God for leadership that was upon his life. Amen. And that is what, in relating to authority, whether at the workplace or in the church or in the nation, in relating to authority, we need to respect the fact that all authority is of God. And when we disrespect authority, we disrespect God. And when we disrespect God, we are accountable to God. I'm not telling anybody to bow down to anybody or idolize anybody. Amen. As I said, David did not respect his character and his attitude. He did not behave like him. But he respected the fact that he was God's authority. Amen. Hebrews 13:17 tells us, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Now let me just say something. If, I remember my pastor, my former pastor, he's now deceased. But, one day I went to his office, and he was saying some things that were not scripturally correct. They were not scripturally correct. And I took out my Bible and I held it up. And I said, sir, with all due respect, anything that is outside of this Bible, I am not with you. Anything that is outside of this Bible, I am not with you. Amen. That same man, that same pastor, before Pastor John was born, my wife was, we were trying to have a child and she couldn't get pregnant. And one day, we used to be in cell groups at that time. We went to our cell meeting, which was on a Wednesday night. And he just said, Sister Yasmin, the Lord has shown me that you have a blocked tube. Let me pray for you. And he prayed for her. And praise God, along came Pastor John. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We didn't go to any doctor for any type of treatment or x-ray or anything like that. The Holy Ghost presented the x-ray. But that same man, he had a word from God that brought healing and caused my wife to become pregnant. But on another occasion, he said some things which I did not agree with. And I said, anything outside of this Bible, I am not with you. What is happening there? I am discerning in my relationship with my pastor what is of God and what is not of God. And let me say something. That's very healthy. That's very healthy. Amen? Pastor Murat, said that. It's very healthy. God wants nothing less. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, it says, let me read again. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. And they to watch over your souls. I mean, when I read it, I say, what? What a responsibility. If there are 100 persons in the church, Lord, you are saying, I must watch over their souls. Not over their activities, you know. Not over how they use a cell phone. Not over where they go to eat or where they go to have social activities. But over their souls. Now, supposing, let me say something. Praise God. Supposing, after my having to tell my pastor, sir, with all due respect, anything outside of this Bible, I am not with you. Amen? Supposing I took a decision then, I will never listen to my pastor again. I will never respect anything he says. What would have happened? My wife would not have gotten pregnant. You know why? Because the word of God, I would not have accepted the word of God. I would not have accepted the word of God. So, you know, it's very important for us to listen to the voice of God. Balaam's donkey spoke to him. God can speak through any person. Amen? But there's a role for the pastor. Praise God. So their work is to watch over your souls. I didn't write that. That's what the Bible says. And they are accountable to God. Accountable to God. Not to a congregant. Not to a board of directors. They are accountable to God. Hallelujah. So, as we journey, he goes on to say, give them reason to do this with joy. May I say something? Sometimes in church, it's difficult for a pastor to work with joy. Sometimes it's rough, you know. Sometimes it's rough. But the Bible says, give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. Hallelujah. That would certainly not be for your benefit. That would certainly not be for your benefit. So there's a benefit. There's a benefit in the relationship between pastor and member and member and pastor. There's a benefit. As we journey to Hebron, may God help us to build a congregation in which leaders are respected and we all respect and love each other. That is what God wants to move forward. Amen. As a pastor, I do not encourage blind obedience, as I said before. However, the unity God desires can only be achieved if we truly seek God's will in all we are asked to do. Amen? And we're going to achieve it. Before leaving Adullam, David asked the Lord, Should I move back to one of the towns of Judah? Praise God. Yes, the Lord replied. Then David asked, which town should I go to? To Hebron. The Lord answered. The Bible tells us we must put on the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. Why? Because our minds are corrupted. If we are honest with ourselves, our human minds are corrupted. And anybody who says that their minds are not corrupted, they are lying. There is some level of corruption in every one of us lives, minds, as long as we continue to live in this flesh. Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind is alive. If we do this, we will think what Jesus is thinking. To think how Jesus thinks, we must lay down our desires, our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions. Praise God. And you know, professionally in the workplace. Amen? Professionally in the workplace. I used to be a CEO. When I have matters to deal with, I can't come with my emotions. I can't come with my feelings. I might have had a bad, you know, left home and I wasn't feeling so happy. I can't come in there and bring that to make decisions. I have to lay down my feelings and my emotions. And when we are seeking God, when we are seeking direction from God, we have to lay down our feelings and our emotions. Hallelujah. This does not mean that we don't love people. We are here because we love God and we love people. Praise God. We serve God as we serve people. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Romans 8:14. As a church, I want to conclude like this. As a church, we thank God for all He has done. Amen. However, God has not called us to live in the past. You know, some people live in the past. Oh, we used to do this. We used to do that. Oh, I wish those days would come back. I don't wish those days would come back. God has new things for us. New, fresh things for us. Hallelujah. Better things for us. He has greater things for us. Hallelujah. In my marriage, if I just lived out the past, my marriage would die. It would die. Together, we have to walk into the freshness of the future. And so it is in our journey with God. Amen? So it is. You know, I thank God. Some people say, life in Christianity is boring. Well, let me tell you something. They don't know what they're talking about. As a worldlyan, I was a worldlyan. I was fully worldlyan. I touched on most aspects of life. And let me tell you something. It is a boring life. And then I thought, at that time, I thought it was the most exciting life. But it's a boring life. It is a meaningless life. It is a life that is filled with hopelessness. But God has not called us to live in the past. The Bible says, eyes have not seen. Hallelujah. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into our hearts the things that God has in store for them that love Him. You want a good future? Here's the secret. Love God. Love God. Love His Son Jesus Christ. Love the Holy Spirit. If you want a good future, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The problem is that many people do not love themselves. And if you don't love yourself, you cannot love others. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love God. Because it was God who made you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Prophetically, the Holy Spirit has declared that upper room shall be bursting at the seams. Hallelujah! God is building His church, not Muirhead. God is building His church. God is building Upper Room Community Church. And I have news for the devil. I have news for all who are allowing themselves to be used by the devil. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Upper Room Community Church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Could we stand, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to pray, or continue to pray, for the unity of the church. I want to pray that God will fill us with His faith and His love. I want to pray that God will send forth laborers into the harvest. You know, we have people here, they come to service, but they're not laborers. Some of you are not laborers. You just come to church and you're not laborers. Pray about laboring for God. Pray about laboring for God. We saw last week that, you know, the bridegroom, who is Jesus, is coming for the bride, who is the church. And we saw that the bride will be dressed in fine white linen. And we saw that the fine white linen represented the good deeds of the saints. Put another way, it represented the things that God instructed you to do, and you did. That's very important. Not what you feel like doing. Amen? If I wanted to do what I felt like doing, I would not be here. I would be a citizen of the United States. But God instructed me to come here. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I can't pressure you to be a laborer. And you know what? God wants willing volunteers. He doesn't want people working under stress. I don't want anybody serving in this ministry under stress, because them things that I won't quarrel with them. I don't have time for that. Amen? It's a willing volunteer. That's what you'll be blessed for. Amen? So I want to pray that His prophetic destiny for this church will be fulfilled. Now listen to this. This is a prophetic word to someone. I heard the words settling a score. Settling a score. Whether you're online or you're in the sanctuary, I heard the words settling a score. It's like somebody has done something to you and you are planning to retaliate in some way. And God is saying, revenge belongs to God and not to us. God is saying, forgive them and leave the matter alone. Forgive them and leave the matter alone. When you settle the score, you are bringing a curse on your life. Release them. The next thing is that I want to pray for whether someone, maybe you have a liver infection, or something is wrong with the bile duct in your liver. I want to pray for you. God's, wherever you are, you could be in the North Pole, God's hand is already there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So let us pray. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your calling upon our lives. I continue to thank you for your faithfulness to us over these last 28 years. I want to thank you for those who, Lord, by faith have been a part of this ministry and for their contribution that they have made to this ministry, Lord, whether by deeds or by finances or encouragement, in whatever way, Lord, they have contributed, I thank you for them. And Lord, I ask you to remember everything that they have done for the house of God and to bless them, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for unity in this church, a greater level of unity. I pray, Lord, that you will fill us with your faith and with your love. May you continue to fill our hearts with praise for you, Lord. Hallelujah. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will send forth laborers into the harvest. I pray, Lord, that your prophetic destiny, which has been given to us prophetically for this church, that it will be fulfilled, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, for your promises, O God. We praise you, Lord, for your promises. We praise you, Lord, for your promises. Father, in the name of Jesus, that person who has been hurt, deceived, taken advantage of, Lord, I pray that you will put it in our heart, Lord, to forgive. Take away that desire to settle the score, Lord. Help her to forgive, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to her broken heart. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of revenge and the spirit of unforgiveness over her mind now. In the name of Jesus, and I command every such spirit to loose her now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit that person with an infected liver, an affected bile duct, Lord. And I speak healing to that liver now. I speak healing to that bile duct now. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Lord, we just bless you. We praise you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We magnify, we glorify your name. You are a faithful God. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are the beginning, you are the end, you are the first, you are the last. Thank you, Lord, that you are already in the future. You are extending your hand to welcome us into the future, Lord. Whether it's this afternoon, whether it is tomorrow, whether it's been next week, whether it be next month or next year, you are already there, Lord, to hold our hands and to walk us and to help us through the future. Lord, we bless you and we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Can we just shout, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to God.